number 68. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week we continue the story of Kia and her discovery of the relic as she now ventures to the stars to decode the strange markings on the skull. So this week's story is called To the Stars. It is 3045 in the common era on Earth, and I'm about to fly from my home in the protectorate of Ethiopia to another star system. I must find the source of the strange marks on the skull I found in the archaeological dig in Aksum, marks that match the shapes on a planet that orbits the nearby star, Wolf 359. As I approach the perimeter of the Djibouti spaceport, I realise this is the first time I've travelled from my home city. The excitement of leaving everything I've ever known dances around my head, whirling with fear and loss, hope and wonder. I know my father will be in our home, behind the market store, leaning on the table, the focus of our small family life, where he'll probably shake his head slightly, in that way he does when he knows he can't persuade me out of some recklessness or other. But he's always given me the space to be independent, to think for myself. And that still gives me great inner strength beyond the confidence of youth. Kia, wake up. I blink out of my reverie. The hover car, not requiring any manual intervention, has stopped in the vast parking lot that surrounds the spaceport. I turn around, expecting to find someone with me, but now all I can hear is a distant white noise. I grab my bag and emerge into the heat of Djibouti, wondering at the clutter of the spires, minarets, rockets, mechanical gangways, a chaotic mix of ancient and modern that marks the spaceport from most other cities on the continent of Africa. I know from my friends that spaceflight is cheap if you work your passage. Most flights need staff to pamper the entitled, so I know where to go in the huge departure hangar beyond the lines of customers checking in for their holiday destinations on the moons of Saturn or those emigrating to the new colonies on the outer rim of the solar system. I'm looking for the flight to the Wolf Space Station. I stop an official-looking guide, an AI supervisor. Fourth exit, the guide looked at me. Your staff, you'll need to show your IDs and permissions. Oh, but, guide strides away. Permissions? How do I get that? I mutter to myself and hurry to the other side of the hangar. I begin to worry about the safety of my rucksack, so I bring it in front of me and hug it close as I head for the staff entrance on exit 4. A cluster of security officials, probably enhanced AI, scan the arms of those in front of me and wave them in. As I approach, absently I feel the outlines of the relic in the bag with my arms. Kia, hurry up. That voice again. I look behind and at the security staff, who seem to ignore me, waving impatiently at the people behind. So I keep moving, remembering how it felt when I discovered the relic at the dig. Nobody acknowledged me when I held it. I wasn't invisible, but somehow unnoticed, like the homeless on the streets of Aksum, ignored by the wealthy or the ashamed. The staff are processed quickly, and as I approach the star freighter, I see why. Its overwhelming size, taller than any of the buildings around us, wider than a field, its needs must be great. Have you done this before? A voice to my right chatters away. No, I've never been this far from home, I laugh, relieved by the distraction. Oh, there's nothing to it. It's my third flight. Just like working in a bar, really. The short-haired woman next to me lifted her head. Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm Kia, by the way. Hi, Kia, by the way. I'm Bird. They laugh again. Bird? Yeah, I changed my name for my first flight. That's who I am now. Bird jumped above the heads around them. Look, we can go the other way. Get ahead of this lot. Most of them are newbies like you, so they'll take ages. Oh, okay, sure. We slipped away to a shorter line on the other side of the craft. And as I looked up, I see its name painted across the huge underbelly. The Empress Zuditu. Quickly, we find our way into the ship, slipping down long tubular corridors, jostling with people, AI, maintenance bots, and other indefinable creatures which I try not to stare at. We're allocated tiny, shiny quarters at the base of the ship, made easier by agreeing to share. Bird knows the routine so well I just don't have to think. Our duties are shared on the laser boards in the little room, and soon, with everybody aboard, we're instructed to lie on the beds, which hold us like cocoons for takeoff. It seems incredible to think an object of this magnitude could actually leave the ground, but the noise indicates otherwise. "He's staying for the whole trip?" I ask Bird, half cupping my ears. "Oh, yes. It'll finally give me enough money for a wee apartment when we return. What about you?" she half shouts. "I'm heading for Wolf Station." "Oh, that's a very long way. I didn't know it stops there. You'll have to find a connection." "Yes, I think there are a few, but I'm not sure which is the quickest." "Easy to find out. We can do that after," Bird yawns. "So I'll see you on the other side." She sinks down into her bed, a quick smile painted briefly on her face. "Oh, right." I must look confused because she lifts her head. "You know we're going into hypersleep now, don't you? 3 months." "Of course. Then we'll be up there." "You make me laugh," Bird snorted. "I should have left you in that queue." "No, no, just be kind." "I'm always kind. Just remember that when I throw up. I always do after hypersleep. Oh, and one more thing. Plug yourself in properly." "What?" I think she means music, as she jabs at her head. "No, think. If you're anything like me, I have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes at the best of times." "Ah, I see the tubes and the spacesuit. Fold myself in and make the surprisingly easy adjustments." I feel the Empress Zuditu shake, building the pressure in the engines nearby, threading through the fabric of the ship, pressing at my head and chest like a slow burst of energy. I see a membrane descend from the ceiling and settle across me as I squeeze my eyes with the pain of noise and hug my bag again, checking for the contours of the relic, and drift to sleep. I dream of floating along the corridors, above the heads of everyone, looking at the inner doors and the ports, watching the lights of distant planets rush by, pushing myself along the ceiling, feeling sick and hungry, thirsty, cold, too hot. "Kia, wake up." That voice again, buzzing and whooshing inside me, hauls me from sleep. My stomach feels like it's been ripped from the rest of my organs. My head is definitely not on my shoulders. The membrane is easy to peel from me, so I struggle out of the spacesuit and the bed. The lights are subdued, and the engines have long subsided to a quiet roar. Then I plant my feet on the floor. "Oh, it's wet." Bird must have been sick. She's still asleep, though, so I almost slip trying to be quiet. I grip my rucksack and leave the little room, my legs shaking with a lack of use. I have to steady myself on the door. "What are you doing?" An AI crew member appears nearby. "You need to pull yourself together." I wince as he barks at me. "Of course. Can you just tell me how long it is to the first connection to Wolf Station?" "6 months," he almost shouts. "So go back and get changed. You have work to do before you can earn the right to leave." I can tell he thinks I'm just a space tourist. I don't think we're going to get on. That's it for now. Thank you, as always, for listening. Next week, we'll follow up with the story that began with Relic a couple of episodes ago, as we approach the star system of Wolf 359 to find what beckons Kia and uncover some ancient mysteries of the universe. So I'll sign off for now. This is Jake Jackson. See you next time. Goodbye.